Let's take a second and pray right now. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. So we're grateful, Father God, Lord, that you are working in our hearts right now, Lord, as we declare in worship that you are worthy, that you are great above everything we face, everything we go through, Father God. You are so good. You are so good. And even if our situation is bad, that doesn't mean that you are bad. You're still good. And we just pray right now for every new person, for every person who's been coming to our church, that this is a time where we get united under one name, the name of Jesus Christ. Not a political party, not a skin issue, not any other issue, but the name of Jesus Christ, that by the color red, the blood that was sacrificed on the cross, we can come together no matter who we are. Break all barriers, Father God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, find three people next to you. Say, I'm thankful for you. Give them a high five and take a seat. Hey, some of you kids skipped out on your parents when I said you're thankful for you. You need to look at them right now and say, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. Hey, Mom, I'm thankful for you. Hey, Dad, back there, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for my parents. They're serving the house. Thankful for my wife. I'm thankful. We are starting a new series called Stuffed. Everyone say Stuffed. Now, I know I was, like, really praying about this. We're on day 21 of our fast and praying. Guys, you did it. Some of you are like, Sean, I did it for a week. And I got off. Hey, you did it for a week. That's longer than you've done it before. Give yourself some grace. I want that turkey so bad right now. For some of you jumping in right now, you're like, what is this all about? God is very open about fasting and praying. In our church, we took a time for 21 days to fast something in our lives. If it was media, if it was some type of food, if it was a Daniel fast, or some people with cigarettes, some people with sweets and caffeine, which was, oh my gosh. But we just gave those things up and said, we want a deeper passion with Christ. And guys, I was talking to one of our staff, and they said that their son, who, remind me how old Aiden is. Can you just shout it real fast? He's 10 or 11? All right. I just told the Armstrong to shout out. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. 10 or 11. But they told me that he said, Mom, at the beginning of the fast, I'm gonna fast my video games. This is Aiden Armstrong, guys. If you knew that, some of you said, oh, I'm not going to eat and drink for 21 days because that's like the same thing. And just to hear that that's happening in our church because people want this deep, this knowledge of who God is. I am so blessed by our church. So we did it, 21 days. God is so good. He's so good. So with that being said, I'd point yourself to the screen, this nice turkey. We're starting a brand new series called Stuffed, and the real idea for this is we have never honed in on the subject of thankfulness. It's not something that comes natural to me, so I was like, we need to teach the church about thankfulness, because newsflash, it is all throughout Scripture. It is a big theme in Scripture, and so I thought, you know what, let's be creative with it. We want to be thankful, everyone say full, this November, so we're going to get thankful. Stuffed, right? We want to be so stuffed with thankfulness that we can't help. It's oozing out of our ears and our nose like the cranberry sauce or the stuffing on Thanksgiving. Like, it's just going to be something we do. And so that is my heart these next the next few weeks is to talk about something called thankfulness, because if we're honest with ourselves, it's all throughout Scripture. It says this in 1 Thessalonians, actually, 5:16-18. Paul's writing the church of Thessalonica, and he says this to them, no matter what their situation, he says, always be joyful, never stop praying, and in verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. I always tell when people come to me and say, I don't know God's will for my life. You can start with being thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. No matter what that circumstance is, he says, be thankful, for this is God's will for you to belong in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:20 says this, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, is writing us and encouraging us. He's not just telling us to be thankful, but when to be thankful. And when to be thankful and what to be thankful for. In everything and for everything in all circumstances. That's a lot harder. It's easier to say that than do it. Because if you guys are anything like me, I have a hard time being thankful. And so today I really feel like our encouragement that's going to come from these scriptures, especially today, is to talk to you about how we can be thankful in all circumstances and thankful for everything. Just a couple weeks ago, our kids director was praying, and he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, I thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. And before he ended, he said, and I thank you for the pain that I went through this year. It's like, whoa, bro. What'd you say? Thankful for the pain that I went through this year. And at first, that caught me off guard because we don't thank God for the pain. But Paul says, but the pain is what serves your purpose. And I'm going to thank him for my pain because I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't get through that pain. And so I'm going to be thankful for the dark seasons, the light seasons, the valley seasons, and the mountain seasons. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thank stuffed. And so that really encouraged me to say, man, how can we be thankful in all circumstances? So I'm going to pray real fast again over this word, and we're going to dig right in. Lord, I pray, again, your Holy Spirit guiding me, that we would be thankful this November and on. I pray, Father God, that it's not something we just talk about, but it'd be something we do, Father God. I'm excited to talk about this. This is your word, and I believe your word changes lives. So do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is going to be the hardest thing I have to do because Thanksgiving, again, is coming up, and I'm still on, like, technically one day left of the fast, and I don't know if this is, like, the devil in the wilderness coming out right now, but I think about Thanksgiving a lot. Now, if you could help me real fast because we're interactive here as a church and everything like that, I really want to encourage you to look at someone next to you in a second. I want you to find someone next to you, and I want you to tell them what your favorite food at Thanksgiving is. I mean, the thing that you dream about, the thing you've been praying about for this whole year, the thing you're already thinking about, it already clicked. Come on, find someone next to you and tell them what that is. I want to hear them too. Come on, tell that person. All right, now look at your second choice and tell that person. Gosh, some of you just named the whole feast. All right, here we go. Some of you are just like, well, there's turkey, and there's ham, and there's stuffing, and there's this everything, and I put it together in a waffle mix and waffle it. And then drizzle cranberry sauce on top. It's like, it's whatever I can do. Guys, I'll tell you what, I love Thanksgiving stuffing. I love the turkey. I love the ham. But my favorite thing is my grandma's ham. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what she puts in it. I don't want to know because I'm scared if I find out. It's illegal to eat it, but all I know is it so good. I've already talked to her this week. What's the ingredients? I forgot. I need to make it this year. And it's so bad, guys, that coming up to Thanksgiving, I like make a spreadsheet in my mind. Like, okay, I know there's going to be this at Thanksgiving, and there's going to be the little hot dogs for appetizer or hors d'oeuvres if you have a fancy party. We're in Pontiac, so we call them apps. And we have all these things, and so I'm doing the spreadsheet in my mind, like, okay, I can have maybe one or two little hot doggies, right? And I can have maybe a couple crackers with some deer sausage, but if I eat too much, then I'm not going to have enough room for stuffing. But if I eat too much stuffing, I'm not going to have enough room for maybe the mac and cheese. If I eat too much mac and cheese, then I definitely won't have enough room for grandma's ham, and I want as much ham as I can stuff in my body, so I'm willing to, like, kind of go cheap on, like, the stuffing. Like, I'll eat less stuff to make sure I get more ham. Because I know that there's a time when you're eating Thanksgiving that it still tastes good, but your body's saying no, right? Like, my body's telling me yes. Like, it's like that moment. You know what I'm saying? Don't judge me. I can do it. It's like, oh, but you still want to eat it. And I thought about that with being thank-stuffed, that sometimes we come in and say, you need to be thankful. Why aren't you just thankful? Be thankful. And we kind of tell people, just be thankful. But here's the thing I think is happening, because every time God asks us to do something, there's something already in competition with that, right? Have faith. Fear is going to try stopping that, right? That's what we see throughout Scripture. When God speaks to us, we see these things that have things that come against what we're trying to go after. Rejoice, but then there's depression. Freedom, but then there's condemnation and shame. In order for us to be thankful, I think we need to get a spreadsheet out in our mind, and we need to say, if I need to make more room for the ham or more room for thankfulness, there's some things in my life that I need to get out so I can make room for thanks. And in order for us, here we go, in order for us to have a critical heart, or in order for us to have a thankful heart, spoiler alert, in order for us to have a thankful heart, we have to beware of the critical heart. We have got to overthrow the critical spirit that has plagued our culture and everything around. And this whole nation is so critical. There's criticalness. I'm critical. We've all been critical. I'm not talking from the avenue like I'm not critical at all. I am one of the most critical people, and you'll hear in here. But our culture has been critically conditioned. And it's been so critically conditioned that it has filtered into the church. And I'll talk more about what I mean with that. But today, if you are taking notes, and you should be, that's what we tell notes. If I just hear that, it's not that you're going to hell if you don't take notes, but you're going to get there. You're like in line up there. You're going to get in first, because woo, I get to go on the ride first. But look at this is the name of the message. If you're taking notes, coming out of critical condition, coming out of critical condition. Because if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us are. Conditioned critically. We are critically conditioned. And today, I've already been trying to come out of it this week, and it's been so life-changing in just a week. What happens when you apply the word? It's so amazing. But today, we're going to come out of a critical heart. Why? So we can make room for a thankful heart. Today, we're coming out of critical condition. So my job today is to get the AED out. Clear. To get you out of that critical condition. Number one, here's some phrases that maybe you need to look at if we want to come out of critical condition. Number one is whatever you look for, you will find. And whatever you look for, you will find. Now, this word critical, what it means is fault finding. When we look at the word critical, it means that you find the wrong in everything. You can find the wrong in everything. You don't enjoy life because there's already so much bad. Even when there's good all around, it doesn't matter. We just see all the bad. And so we don't enjoy any of our life because we're so critically conditioned. And whatever we look at, whatever we look for, we will find. I heard this story before, and I think I heard it on the radio, and it's about two travelers and a farmer. And this farmer was out in his field working, and one of the travelers was traveling from his town with all his stuff, and he was heading down the road. And the farmer looked at him and said, hi. And the traveler stopped, and he said, hey, could you help me out? He goes, sure, what do you need? He said, how are the people in the next town? Are they cool? Like, what's going on with the people in the next town? And the farmer said, well, how are the people in the town that you're coming from? They're the town you just left. He goes, oh, they are troublemakers. They're lazy. They're selfish. They can't be trusted. I can't stand that place. He says, you'll find the same sort in the next town where you're going. And he felt defeated, and he just kept on going. A few moments later, another traveler comes by, and he says, hey, how are you? He goes, cool, I'm doing good. The traveler stops. He says, hey, can you help me? He says, sure, what's up? He says, how are the people in the next town? And the farmer looks, and he says, well, how are the people in the town you're coming from? And he says, man, they're the best people in the world. They work hard. They are hardworking. They're friendly and honest. And honestly, I am sorry that I'm even leaving them. And the farmer looks and says, you'll find the same sort in the town you're going to. That's good. But how many people have left the town that you were in because you couldn't find the bad, and you left the church, you left the job, you left that environment because you were so critically conditioned you couldn't even see all the good that was happening in front of your eyes. But not today. We are not going to step out of what God has put us in because the critical condition is coming out today, and we're going to start being thankful for the people who are around us, the people who speak into us. It seems like a cute story until you realize you have left marriages, and you have left families, and you have left churches, and you have left jobs because they're troublemakers, and they're lazy, and they're selfish. And if we would just get out and begin to open up our eyes, we can find the good in everybody. And if we can do that, I believe people wouldn't be leaving the church every time something happens to them. I mean, I look at my grandparents, who they went to church when they didn't leave for stupid stuff like offense. Like, they were still there. But nowadays, it's like, did you see how they looked at me? I'm leaving. I was talking to our student director this week. He says, man, he's like, I love what I do. It's awesome to see these students coming in and we get to help them. He goes, it seems overwhelming, but that's what we're here for. It's like, sometimes, you know, there's kids who are maybe crying in the corner because of what was said about them. And so we get to help them with that. And his heart is in the right place on what they get to do, because we all have done that. And he goes, so what is your encouragement on how we can handle those situations? And he goes, oh, maybe you don't deal with that as much. I'm like, yeah, you're right. We don't have adults who go and cry in corners. They just leave the church. So we still have it. They're still adolescents. They just leave. And what happens is, because of the story, when you're leaving, you're going to go into the same marriage. You're going to go into a different marriage, a different church, a different job. And guess what? Within 2 weeks, you're going to find all the bad there too. And you're going to step out of it. And then you're going to step out of it. The reason why we're seeing so much destruction is because of a critical spirit. We're food critics. We're movie critics. We're family critics. We're TV critics. There's criticism everywhere. And I honestly believe at the core, the reason why people are leaving marriages, the reason why people are leaving churches, the reason why people are leaving what God's put them in is because they weren't thankful. They were critical. But when you're thankful, you find the good. You look at it and you find it. And so my encouragement for you today is to do just that. You see, I looked through the scripture and I realized that this isn't just what happens in Paul's life, but Jesus, right? Jesus and John, I love the story. In John 5, there was a guy who was paralyzed, listen, for 38 years. Okay, 38 years, okay? So like, Sean, I'll be 38 in 8 years. And you're thinking about that, it's like, well, he still has a whole life to live. But in that time, 38 years was actually that was the average lifespan. So Jesus finds a dude who's almost about to die in culture terms, and he heals that person. Why would he do that? To show you that it's never too late? That you could be at the end of your life, and God still has a calling for you and a purpose for you, and he still wants to do something through you. Even if you have a week to live, there's someone you can influence. He goes and he heals him. Heals him. He gets up, picks up his mat, goes to the Pharisees and the teachers. He goes, "Woo, I'm healed." And the Pharisees look at Jesus and say, "Hey, you healed on the Sabbath." Not even a, "Man, I'm so glad you're walking after 38. I am so proud. This is amazing. Let's make some burgers. Let's do something. Let's celebrate. Let's throw a party." Nope. They're like, "Jesus." But that's how the church has been. We sit in our church for 12 years, and someone comes in messy, and we start getting critical of the mess. Instead of being critical for the mess that they came in, be thankful there's a church that lets people come in with their messes, with their hang-ups, with their misfitness, that they can actually trust their church and say, "I am jacked up. I do have problems. But for some reason, they accept me." Don't be critical about their mess. You had a mess. You still have a message just inside. They just are willing to throw it on the outside. He says, "Look." He says, "Don't. You can't heal on the Sabbath." They were fault finding. But if they would look back and say, "Whoa, this is amazing. Jesus has healed this man." It says this in Philippians. Paul, while in prison, right? He could focus on all the bad. He says this. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing: fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." What is he saying? Whatever you look for, you will find. And it's hard not to be thankful when you're focusing on things to be thankful for. Have you, when I'm trying to correct my kids and they're doing something that's hilarious but they shouldn't be doing, and you're just like, "Avery," I'll turn around and Liz's like, "Sean, you gotta stop laughing." I'm like, "You take this one, I'm out." It's because like, she's like, "Just stop looking at her when you correct her." I'm like, "Avery, stop." You know, it's like that kid in class that's trying to make you laugh, and you're like, "Just stop looking at him. He's going to get you in trouble." He's like, "Ugh." And you're like, "It's like, hey, Sean. If you stop looking at him, then you won't laugh because you can't help but laugh when you look at him. When you're looking at praiseworthy things, you can't help but praise. You can't help but be thankful. When you're looking, you say, "I just can't keep my eyes off. Ooh, why are my hands going? I don't know. This is awesome. What's going on? My family's blessed. My kids are still alive. God has given me a paycheck this week. Keep your eyes focused. I can't get my hands down." Because you're focused on the good things. Guys, this has freed me this week because it's so easy for my eyes from the time we planned this church. It's so easy to focus on the critical things, but if you would focus on the things that are pure, that are admirable, that are trustworthy, you can't help but give out praise. To give out praise. I'm going to throw our executive pastor on the bus and me at the same time. Sorry, man. You signed on to this. We were talking in his eval, and He loves food. I love food, but he's more like a food critic. I'm a movie critic. So as much as he's a food critic, I'm a movie critic. And so we can filter that into the church. And he came and visited our church one day, and he knew he was stepping into this role. And so he was his heart was in the right place. He was making sure that we would be as effective and as excellent as we could be for our church, which is an amazing heart. So this isn't a weakness. Like, being critical is not a weakness sometimes. It's good to coach people and keep your eyes open. But he came out and said, hey, man, I noticed this was wrong, and this was wrong, and this was wrong, and this was wrong. And I was literally just like, but I've been there to other people, so I knew. And I was like, hey, stop, stop, stop. I remember looking at him and said, what's one thing that went right? He was like, And then he hit me up that night. He goes, you're right, man. You're absolutely right. Sometimes it's so easy. I was like, the only reason I knew that is because that's me in a nutshell every single day of my life. And I talked to him, and I was encouraged. I was like, so what do I need to do? He's like, what do I need to do to get out of the critical condition? I said, you know how you're such a critic with food? I was like, I don't care if it's the worst tasting food ever. Find something good about it. See, I was a movie critic. Oh, they can't act. Oh, that's a stupid shot. Oh, the storyline is dumb. Oh my gosh, this is stupid. That was constantly going on, but it's just harmless. But then I realized, as I looked at Liz, I was like, man, I'm such a critic. I said, from this time on, I'm gonna watch movies even that critics hate. Just any movie. Like, we're gonna watch a new Transformers. And I'm like, Michael Bay, no plot, whatever, let's watch it. And I loved it because instead of looking at all the negative things, like, man, look at the CGI in that. Man, look at the acting in that. Oh, she did a really good job. That's a young actress. She could be up and coming. And it's amazing what happens when you actually start shifting. You can start enjoying stuff that you never used to enjoy. And so I looked at him and said, I don't care if it's the worst tasting food on the plate. Find something to be thankful for. So it's a little burnt, but you know what? The onions taste good. If the onions don't taste good or everything's good, just look at the plate that's holding it. Man, the plate is awesome. If the plate's not good, this decor in this restaurant is great. You know what? My waitress, I don't care what you have to get to. Just find something good and talk about it. Why? So you can enjoy that experience and not hate it. He says, whatever you look for, you will find. I came home. I got to get to the next point. I came home, and I didn't tell her this, so I'm coming. Yeah. I came home, and Avery was at school from 8 to 10, and so she has Charlie, just one kid. And for me, I'm like, go get him. Like I can clean the house. I can do this with two kids, and it's just me. Not everyone's like that. Sometimes I'm sacrificing time with kids because I have to get the house clean. It's not right. It's whatever. We'll talk about that later. You're not my therapist. All right, here we go. And I came home, and there was, like, stuff everywhere. Like, everywhere. And I came home, and I was just like, because I'm, like, expected to be clean home, whatever. She's only had one kid. Everything will be good. It's just one child. That's it. And I came in, the dishes weren't done, and things were going crazy, and I was preparing this message. And I came, and I was just like, right off the bat, boom, bad, boom, bad, boom, bad. And it's so crazy how we're conditioned to find all the negative. And so before, I almost said, like, was Avery at school today? Right? Just, like, passive-aggressive. I did it, guys. And I looked there, and I looked around. I was like, okay, I felt my heart. Sean, whatever you look for, you'll find. So I looked, and I looked hard. I looked into the living room, and both laundry baskets were completely empty in the laundry room. And I said, hey, babe, thank you so much for getting the clothes done and putting them up. I don't know why you're laughing, because she loved it. You're such a fool. I was like, hey, thank you so much for getting those clothes up. I appreciate it. Because I couldn't have said, the house is crazy, the dishes aren't done, this is what's going on, and her whole spirit would have been like, I don't want to talk to you, get out of the house, go back to work. You should work 9 hours instead of 8. That's perfectly fine. But instead I said, you know what, there's one thing that I know, there's probably many things, but there's one thing that I noticed, and what I noticed is you put the clothes away. By the way, you're pretty hot too, and I'm going to add that to the list, and be thankful for what you can find, because what you look for, you'll find. This is going to save someone's marriage this week. Before you talk, you're like, yeah, that's right, husband, you hear him? No, wife, when he comes home, you start saying, you know what, he may not be exactly like I want him to be, but at least he's putting food on the table. At least he's doing something. Quit looking for the bad and start looking for the good. Some marriages just got saved. Whatever you look for, you will find. The thing is this, when is the last time you gave a compliment? That'll show where your heart is by being critical. When's the last time, not just like, hey, thanks, but actually gave them something to hold on to? Number two, stop complaining, start thanking. is another way that we can come out of critical condition. Stop complaining, start thanking. You see, guys, I've learned in this time that critical people, there's always something to complain about. When you're critical, if you say, do I find myself constantly complaining? That might be, and like I say, I'm talking from experience, guys. This isn't me just talking down at you. I want you to come out of this because I can tell you there's so much freedom and enjoying life that when you actually look for the good, there's so much out there. It's pointless to look at the bad. Now, are there times that we coach and challenge people? We'll get to that in the next point. But what I'm trying to say is if we are so conditioned to look at the bad, we will never enjoy the good. And so we complain about things we don't have, and we complain about things in our life. And one thing that we can do, it's a really simple, practical step, is we can stop complaining and start thanking. Last night, I was trying to get some sleep. I was exhausted. Our team got together, and we planned out 2018 so that we could be prepared for it. And I was just kind of tired just with using my mind and stuff like that. Just like, I get tired with that. It's a mental thing. And I was like, babe, I think I'm going to go to bed at like 7 or 8 tonight. I've been going all week. I'm just like, I'm going to get some sleep. Yeah, thanks for the amen. I didn't sleep till like 11, okay? So I was like, I'm going to go get some sleep. And so she goes, okay. And I'm going to go up in my room, and I lay down. As soon as I lay down, about 8, I hear, I'm like, God, really? This whole time she's been fine, but now Charlie's got to have a cough at 8 o'clock right when I rest my head. And I don't know, you've all been there, and I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm just tired. I'm just exhausted. And then our dog, who is a little runt now, he was scratching and his collar was going. I'm just like, I'm just trying to sleep. And then all of a sudden, my rock star wife, I hear her in their room banging that guitar and woo, singing. And Charlie wakes up, gets out of her crib because she can do that now. I hear a plop on the ground. She turns off the lights. I go in there, put her in her crib, come out. 10 minutes later, I'm trying to get sleep. I hear plop, go in there, put her back in. And I'm just like, I'm so grateful I'm preparing this message this week. And I laid there. I laid there. I could be complaining that I'm not having my sleep. Gosh, God, I just want sleep. I just need some sleep tonight. I just want some sleep. I could be complaining about what I don't have. But then I begin to sit there, and I heard my wife writing a song with her amazing voice. And I'd be like, man, I'm one of the blessed people who can fall asleep to my wife's voice playing guitar. I love music. Why would that be a bad thing? And not just that, at that moment when Charlie was crying, I got to pick her up and she got to lay with me in the bed and I just cuddled her. And I'm like, man, how many times have I missed out on this because I complain about what I don't have instead of being thankful for what I do have? And when you do it, everything shifts. Man, I know that sometimes my husband drives me crazy, right? So many ladies, he drives me crazy. And I could complain about a lot of things that he does wrong, but man, there's so much to be thankful for what he does right. There's so much to be, and on the other side, men, I'm gonna talk to you too, because we're the guys, we don't give compliments, we're the hard people, we're tough. I don't look like a fool in front of your friends. I don't care if people call you cheesy and weird and, oh, you make me sick. Let your wife know you love her in front of your friends. In front of your buddies, because it's like, oh, well, my buddies are around. You know, we got cool. Remember, we talked about this. And she's like, shh, honestly, you're not cool. And I realized that we stop complaining and start thinking. It changes everything. And with that, the antidote to complaining is thankfulness. I was looking through scripture, and the Israelites went into they crossed the Red Sea. God saved them from slavery. And then they got to the wilderness and they began to complain. And God rained food down from heaven. They're like, woo, meat and manna. Bread rained from heaven. Guys, it was like, you remember Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal? Anybody? Yeah, some of you know. Look, you need to watch it. You young kids, rent Kazam tonight. I am Kazam! And the kid's like, I wish junk food would rain from the sky. And it does. Imagine that, except healthier food. And it's raining from the sky, and what happens, you look throughout scripture, they eat it every day, and they begin to complain about the thing they were thanking God first for. Guys, complaining will turn a blessing into a cursing. This church that you used to love, if you're not thankful for it, it'll become a curse to you. I have to serve there. These people always are loud. At first, I could stand the pastor, but now he gets off on these tangents and talks about poop sometimes. I don't know what's going on. Or we can stop complaining about the things we see next to us and the people we see coming in and complaining about all the little intricate things that don't even matter if you actually even think about it and start saying, I'm thankful that I come to a church. We complain, I have to wait to be parked out in the parking lot. Or you can be thankful that our church is growing to the capacity that you have to wait out in the parking lot. I just like my church to be, you know, 100 people's good because these are my friends, these are my family, and then all these people coming, they're moving in my flow, they're sitting in my seat, this is blah, 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 blah. Or you can be thankful that the whole reason you got in this was to go into the world and preach the gospel, and people just love our church so much that they want to come in and take your seat and take your spot, and we're okay with that. Heck, I'd rather you leave and give up your spot than you stay in a spot that someone can't sit in. That's just how I preach, because I like it, okay, I guess. But I look and it's like, oh, the lines, we have to wait in for the kids and everything like that. I know we've done it. We've all been there. And it gets crowded in the lobby, and it does this. Or I'm thankful that we come to a church that God blesses with the building, and even though maybe we're growing out of it, we're growing out of it, which is a pretty awesome thing to be thankful for. We should stop complaining and start being thankful. Why? Because if we keep complaining, what we used to be a blessing to us will turn into a cursing. I can complain about the church too as a pastor because we deal with ministry. I heard someone say ministry would be a whole lot easier without the people, including me. Trust me, I'm the worst. I've talked myself out of more things than anybody. Like, I don't believe that. It's because you're too proud about yourself. You need to believe that because we're all messed up. And the thing I realized is that you complain about the people, or you could be thankful that no matter how messy, however hard hardship there is, be thankful that God has brought them into a place where they can be restored. Because I've heard someone say this, people are not your problem, they're your provision. And God has brought them here to do something great in your church. So you need to take care of them and shepherd them and love them and stop complaining about the things that don't matter and be thankful that I've trusted you to bring as many people as I have brought. So you be faithful in that. Stop complaining, start being thankful. Stop complaining. Start being thankful. I love what it says. Could you guys throw to Philippians 2, 14 through 15? He says this. Paul, in prison, says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. I love this. He flips it. He says, we're not going to be critical, but let me give you some insight on how people can't criticize you. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Some of you are this week, you're like, I don't know what's going on. Write this down and try it this week. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Instead, find something to be thankful for so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world of crooked and perverse people. Let's stop complaining and start thanking, because honestly, guys, complaining, the antidote to complaining is thankfulness. So the first thing, whatever you look for, you will find. The second thing, stop complaining, start thanking. And the third thing is this, people make mistakes. Yes, even Christians. Oh, my Christian's like, amen, thank God. He finally said it. People make mistakes, even Christians. Now, disclaimer, for the people who said, yes, thank you. No, you keep making the same stupid mistake, and people are exhausted trying to challenge you and encourage you to a better life, and you're exhausting them. They're not judging you. They're trying to help you. I'm not talking about people who want to live in their mess for 15 years and never come out of it. That's not what I'm saying here. They're not being critical, they're trying to help you. I'm talking about people who we come in and people make a mistake and we're so critical on their mistakes. This morning, guys, God, this is so funny. He's just like, I'm gonna use all the analogies in your life, Sean, because you are a critical person. This morning, I got up to come into church early because I'm so holy. I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna do this. And so I was getting ready to go to drive in here early this morning, and I went to grab my keys, and guess what? My keys weren't on the hook. Guess who drove my car last? So I'm looking for my keys, and I'm like, babe, I gotta be there. It's running late. I had the plan. Right? I'm like, where are the keys? And she goes, babe, I put them back on the key ring. I was like, cute, right? You know, the times where you're like, it's not on the key ring, you know, and I'm just having this attitude problem. I'm like, well, they're not on the key ring. They're not there. She goes, I don't know. I was like, I don't know who drove it last. You drove it, you know, the other day to help that person. I was like, no, I drove the journey. You Thursday night, because I keep a schedule in my mind because I'm crazy. I was like, Thursday night, you took my car to worship practice. You came home. You did something with the keys, but we don't know where they are now, and blah, blah. And it took on like 10 minutes. We're looking everywhere. I have an attitude problem. I'm treating her not like I should be treating her, and I'm just have this attitude problem, and I'm like, God, this church morning, of course the enemy's going to attack, and I'm doing all these things, and we're looking everywhere, and then at that moment, the dog poops on the floor, so we didn't take him out in time because we're looking for the keys, and I'm like, stop pooping on the floor, and then I'm looking around. I'm like, babe, you're going to clean up the poop because I'm looking for the keys in the first place, so you need to poop. And I'm blaming her and doing all these things because I'm critical on the mistake she's made. And so I'm looking around, I'm like, where could they be? And I went, where could they be? And as soon as I hit my pocket, what? You don't know what I'm gonna say? I felt the keys in my pocket. Now, man, you know those moments where you're like, how am I gonna escape the house? Just to send her a quick text, like, I found them, we're good to go, bye. Like, hoping, like, okay, I'm going to go out there and say, oh, I was just going to, not instead of telling her it was in my pocket, I was going to be like, and dangle them, like, found them. And hopefully she doesn't say, where did you find them? I was like, found them. And she's like, where did you find them? And I was like, they were in my pocket. And she smiled at me and hugged me and gave me a kiss. She said, praying for you. Wait. Now, this is life, though, because we're so critical, right, about other people. We're so critical about what everybody else did. And when I found the keys, I won the grace that I should have gave her. And some of us, we're so critical. We're so mean, and we're so harsh, and that's just the way I am. But when you're in a mistake, you don't like to be talked like that. You don't like to be encouraged like that. You don't like to be, the same grace that you want, you should give. Isn't that what this says in Colossians 3:12? Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults. Critical means fault finder. Make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. It's crazy that he put thankful in after going in and saying, first off, you need to make an allowance for each other's fault. It's hard to be thankful if you're always criticizing the people next to you. Why don't you be thankful for them? Be thankful that they even brought their mess to this church. Be thankful that they're even showing up. I never understood that. Why they're like, man, they should be ashamed of themselves. Why do they keep showing up at this church even though they mess up? I'm like, I take that as a compliment. That they don't have so much shame in this place that they can actually come back and get on the right track. Stop complaining and start being thankful. We gotta shift. I feel like I'm in my heart, and this is just a gut check. Right now, I feel like I'm talking to the people who've been in church for 20 years. You're tired of it. I'm tired of it. We've seen people not change, and I've changed. I've worked hard for 20 years to get on the right track. I've worked hard for the, but you don't remember the people who came alongside of you and gave you grace in your mess ups, because we messed up, and we need to make an allowance for each other's faults. We need to realize when we have a critical heart that people make mistakes, yes, even Christians. So the next time you want to leave the church because someone was mean or hurtful, make an allowance. Make an allowance. We're going to be a church that makes an allowance. It's easy to be a critic. It is so easy to be a church critic. It takes a lot more strength not to leave the church, but to stay and say, instead of criticizing that thing, I'm going to use my gift to help that thing. I see so many people all the time, well, I see all these people, and I just want to go to a place where I can grow. I want to go to a place where I can keep growing and thriving, and I just see all these, you know, we're always reaching the lost, and we're always reaching the unchurched, and we're bringing them in, and I just want to find a place where I can grow, and there's just not much spiritual wisdom and guidance, and I'm just like, or you're here for a reason, and the way you're going to thrive and grow is by starting a group and getting those young people who don't know what's going on and start pouring into their life, because last time I checked, this thing wasn't about you. It was about others and about Christ. So as you use your gift pouring into them, you're going to find out you're better than you ever thought. The best way to grow is to actually get in the game. People always think, I got to leave and someone else pour into me. Jesus said, nope, disciples, I'm going to be here for 3 years and I'm out. And then you're doing it. What was he doing? He's saying, no, you're going to do this thing. And then you're going to lead. You got to get in the game. Don't leave because it's so. Get into it and make an allowance when it gets tough, when it gets hard, when people make mistakes. Realize that God forgave you so we can forgive them. And I love this. Worship team, you can come on up. Romans 8:1 says this. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Some people don't know what that means, but what that word means is when we were far from Christ, we were in our sin, we made a mistake, we lied, we sinned, we were separated from God. Jesus came in, died on the cross, and when he says there's no condemnation, he says for people who put their faith in Christ, you can now live with no condemnation. That word condemnation means no shame, no fault finding. He says, Paul's saying this, if I could help, Romans 8, he says, so now there is no more fault finding. That's what condemnation means. Jesus no longer sees the faults in your life. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace that was poured over you. See, I thought about this today because some of you, we can't get through this condemnation. We can't get shake this thing. Because if we're honest with ourselves, yeah, we're super critical. But if we flip this whole thing all around, the main reason why people are critical is because they're not happy with who they are inside. So you gotta stop criticizing yourself first. God loves his creation. God loves setting you free. And he knows that when you're down in the dumps, he's excited to get you back up. He says, when you mess up, there is now no condemnation. Meaning, I'm not gonna be a critic and point all your faults out. Instead, I'm gonna see the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on your behalf. So when you fall, you can get back up. That's hard to believe for some of us today because we have to stay in the dirt a little bit longer to know what we've done wrong. No, that's not the gospel. I don't care if you, that's self-righteousness. You are no match for sin. You are no match for your own life. Jesus had to go to the cross. Critical people find the faults in others to make the, I guess if I could say this nicely, I was trying to think. They find the faults in others to mask the faults in themselves. We could just turn inward and say, you know what? We're coming out of critical condition today. We're done with this. Today, it's gonna be a journey. It's gonna be tough. I've already started week one for me, guys, and it has changed my life in a week. Let's begin to condition our mind. Whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is trustworthy. Yeah, but Sean, there's a lot to complain about. That's fine, but that doesn't mean you have to complain about it. Be thankful in all circumstances and for everything. Why? So you can get rid of this critical condition. And before you leave another church or another job, ask yourself, did I ever once step into this place or that place looking for the good? Because you'll go to the next marriage, you'll go to the next job, and you'll go to the next life, and you'll find the same exact things in there. Can I challenge you that you would find the good in every single day? Pick up your child when they're screaming. Give to someone when you have that money. Even though someone may not believe the same thing you do, thank them for the hug that they gave you. There's so much good. And as you look in this church, be thankful that we have a church that's growing, that people are finding Christ, and that we get to celebrate with baptisms. Guys, we have a amazing church, a super blessed church. So if you in your heart right now have felt like, I don't like this place anymore, it's probably because you're not thankful for it, but there's so much to be thankful for. I'm not talking about me, I'm just saying there's so much to be thankful for all around. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now, Father God, that we would shift our hearts to you, that we would be thankful in this time, that we, Father God, would look for the good, that we would find it. I pray that we would give people allowance when they make mistakes. Lord, only you can do that. Only the grace of Jesus can take care of our critical heart. We have to first realize that you forgave us so that we can forgive others. If you're here today, you said, Sean, I have a critical heart, but I've never decided to believe in Jesus. I'm still actually far from God. You don't have to clean up your mess. He says, come as you are, and I'll take care of the mess. He wants into your dirty situation. He wants into your life. But you have to invite him in. He's not forceful. If you're here today, say, Sean, I want to do that today. I want to invite God into my messy situation, and I want him in my heart, in my life, the central theme of my life. If that's you today, could you lift up your hand? Say, today I'm making a decision to believe in Christ. Praise God. Anybody else that wants to join? Say, today I want to make a decision to make Jesus number one in my life. All right, you can go ahead and put those hands down. Church, can you pray this with me together? Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus not to look at my faults, but to save me from them. I'm forever grateful. I want to be stuffed with thankfulness. Forgive my past. I'm moving forward. I choose you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we lift up, Father God, your name right now. We pray, Father God, for anyone who's critically conditioned. We pray, Father God, that we're coming out of it right now, that we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be grateful for. I pray that we would no longer focus on all the things that could be wrong, but that we would thank you for everything that is right, because you are good and you are holy and you are worthy of our praise. So we thank you for it and we declare it today. And if the church believes it, let's give God some praise. Let's stand up on our feet as we close with this song.